Some people have it, some people don't. Some people never will. Sometimes it's hard to know when you got it. Sometimes it's perfectly clear. Well, I know it's out there. I've seen it happen. I know the way it should feel. There's no mistaking that good kind of aching of a once in a lifetime love. A once in a lifetime love. A love like we've all dreamed of. It may go disguised right before your eyes. A once in a lifetime love. So if you think you've got it, you feel it inside you, don't let it slip away. You may not ever find what you never thought you'd have anyway. If you've always had it, just realized it. You know how lucky you are to wake up beside what some never find. A once in a lifetime love. A once in a lifetime love. A love like we've all dreamed of. It may go disguised right before your eyes. Once in a lifetime love. It may go disguised right before your eyes. Once in a lifetime love.
East Mississippi and West Alabama's News Talk 1010 MOX, the Big Ten. Welcome back to the morning show, and it's the Tarver Valentine's Day special. And welcome back, everybody. My name is Bill Smith, along with
Dumpster Dog and
Paul Tarver and
Pam Tarver.
The Tarvers.
The Tarvers Valentine's
sounds
special.
That sounds like a song group.
Yeah,
the Tarvers.
Yeah. The Tarvers.
The singing Tarvers.
No, the Tarver.
No, definitely not.
No?
You can sing. I can't.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
693-1891. 693-1010. Those are the numbers. If you want to call and be part of the program this morning, also email us morningshow@wmox.net. Fax us 483-1010. Call us toll free, Dumpster.
1-877-966-9825.
All right, if you listened in the last hour, we heard how the Tarvers met. Dumpster, how did you meet your lovely bride?
Blind date. I don't believe in blind dates. Don't recommend them at all. But
you believed in that one.
I believed in that one. It took. It worked.
Why did you? How did they convince you to go if you didn't believe in them?
Well, I wouldn't. let me see how to answer that.
They would have had to twist your arm.
Let me back up and say that's not the most. That's not the best way to meet a future wife. I don't think, but it is a way. And I don't know. A friend of mine told me that he had somebody he wanted me to meet, and mm-hmm. he kind of sold me on her.
Right.
And he sold me on the deal, on the idea.
Right.
Oh, really?
So that's what happened, and it worked.
Good friend.
How'd you meet your wife, Bill?
Oh, boy. We met, we worked in a restaurant in San Francisco, and she was already working there. And I had to start off as a food runner. And the very first night, She was yelling at me and everything
what is
else.
A food runner?
And we
dude?
Got into a food runner is somebody that helps expedite the food.
Bring
let me
it
tell
out.
You, you get to San Francisco and it's tough to get a bartending job or a waiting job right off the bat. Because, you know, at a good restaurant,
right.
Where are you going to make some money? So anyway, I had to work my way up. But anyway, yeah. I was running food for her, and of course, she was telling me everything I was doing wrong, and also the management too. So we didn't like each other very much,
really,
for a while. In fact, it was so bad. Found out later, both of us were looking on the schedule, you know, hoping that the other one wouldn't be working. this is the truth.
How it went from that point to married with kids.
Well, see, what I'm getting is at this point she's still telling him what to do, but he doesn't mind anymore.
they don't hate each other either.
It's the I promise, honest to God truth. And I guess we became friends.
Do you remember a turning point, Bill, or was it a gradual thing?
It was a gradual thing. We became friends and started hanging out, and just like everybody else, you know, then. but that's how it started. It was hate at first sight.
Well, I was talking to Paul about that we were talking about the howdy meeting. My parents also met on a blind date.
Really?
Really?
And his friend, a guy he worked with, said, I need to have, you know, you go out with us because my girlfriend has this friend she won't go out unless I find somebody to go out with this other girl.
Mm-hmm.
So my father kept saying, no, 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 I'm not going to do it. And she had this picture in the paper for some fashion show thing, and he showed her the picture and said, here's the girl, would you go out with us? So he finally agreed, and they went out and they had dinner, the four of them and whatever. And the next morning the guy asked my father, he said, what'd you think? You know, my father looked at him and said, I'm gonna marry that woman.
Really?
And the guy was like, you've got to be kidding. Yeah, right, after the first date.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, within the year, they were married, and they've been married now for 54 years.
How about that?
Wow.
And he still has the picture of her from the paper.
Really?
Still has it.
Wow.
Well, the idea of blind dates is interesting to me. I've never been on one, but
you have?
I like to hear about them. You know, it's just intriguing.
I went on one, it didn't work.
I've had several, none of them
thankfully.
Worked, except this one.
I mean, because you're entering into this, date. You've never met this person.
That's right.
Never
can you imagine,
seen this person.
Can you imagine an arranged marriage?
I mean, I'm crazy. I'm all for that.
You are?
Yes.
Why?
We need to bring it back. I think it's great.
Why?
Well, because you know who your daughter's going to marry.
Yeah, but you don't know for sure.
Spoken like a true father.
Well, you. I mean, you know everything about them.
You
find
can't
out about
pick.
Them.
They've been checked out.
You can't pick the woman that your daughter's or the man that your daughter's going
to
fall in love with.
Especially
the chance of making your child miserable.
Well, I
mean, just because you like them doesn't mean that she's going to.
I could be making them very happy.
You could be making them miserable.
Well, they could be making themselves miserable.
That's right.
Too.
You can go anywhere around.
You know, it's just fate. I'm thinking about you, Bill, and Shay in that restaurant. Had you not needed to work,
right?
And she not needed to work, or.
Well, one little thing can change everything.
Yeah, I mean, you could have quit, or she could have quit, or
you know, I was telling Bill this at the break. You know, had I been 5 minutes later getting to the chat room,
mm-hmm.
Pam would have already logged off.
Right.
There would have never been a chance. I was in an area where there were thousands of people. The odds against us, two people, 1,100 miles away, ending up being the one connection that we know out of all the chat room relationships that there were that survived,
mm-hmm.
it just blows my mind. There's got to be some. I don't believe in coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine my life without her.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see that. I don't know. Maybe it had to be a reason.
Go ahead and say it. Meant to be.
Meant to be.
Okay.
I believe in that.
Meant to be.
Let's go to the phone. Good morning. You're on the morning show with the Tarvers. Welcome.
Good. Oh, my goodness.
Hello.
I need to report a birthday. I'm going to stay out of all this stuff.
Well, jump on into the love boat with us here.
That's right.
I'm going to stay away from it. I think that Paul, meeting somebody on the internet has to be a little more risque than a blind date.
Risque.
At least on a blind date.
Did you mean risky or risque?
Risky.
Yeah.
Well, it might be risky,
I just
too.
I just want to clarify, because there's
could be both.
Vast difference in those two words.
Risky.
Okay.
Because at least on a blind date, someone that you have common acquaintances with knows the person that they're sitting you
there's
up
a
with.
Common, yeah, but I've been on a setup deal like that, and my friends didn't have a clue. It didn't work.
Well, I will agree with that, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will agree. But anyway, that's, I don't know a lot of people. I know several people that are married and happily married and met on the internet.
Really?
So,
I didn't know there were that many out there.
I guess in these times has come to be, I wouldn't have guts enough to do anything like that.
I can tell you why.
Maybe
the few that work, I can tell you why they work.
What is it?
Oh, this is the thing that Pam was talking about before. You get to know each other from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can put on. Let me tell you something. And Pam will tell you this too. You can put on airs to a certain point, but at some point the stories either jive or they don't with reality.
After
you cannot keep the front up for long, you can't do it.
Well, that goes for any relationship,
for a traditional relationship.
Sure,
and it does.
Right.
Well, let me report my birthday.
Whose birthday?
Report that birthday.
My youngest daughter is a teenager today.
Get out.
Look out.
13.
Logan turns 13 today.
She's a teenager.
Logan is, 6 or 7?
Should be.
13, trust me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, but you're still one of
unbelievable.
Do you agree with Bill's idea of arranged marriages?
Yes.
You know what? I've never really thought about it until Bill brought it up.
I'm telling you, it's the way to go. We need to get back to it.
If I could go back and start over and Bill, I have a 19-year-old that is in college. My goal is for her to at least be 25 before she even thinks about the word.
Right.
Whether that works or not, I don't know, because I have no idea.
Arranged marriage will take care of that, Tom.
Yeah, that would solve that.
Telling you, take care of a lot of things.
But if I had an opportunity, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I would want to actually pick out the person, because I may pick out the wrong person.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you do that anyway?
I think that if my mom had picked out mine, then
don't. Don't
I
go
really
there.
I don't know what would happen.
Don't go there.
No, I don't think it would be a good idea. I stay away from that, Bill. You're going to cause problems down the road that you don't want to have to listen to.
Well, I'm going to convince somebody.
Then she can say it's all your fault.
That's right. It's all your fault.
Well,
you
so what?
To me. So I would.
Bill's okay. He's willing to take that.
What else is new?
Yeah, exactly.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
By the way, the guy that set I hate to use that terminology, but I guess it is that set us up.
Yeah,
I see him. He's my barber. I see him quite often.
Do you thank him often?
I do.
You ought to send him a Valentine.
That's right.
All right. Good morning. You're on the morning show with the Tarvers. Welcome.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Benny.
As I crossed the Sioux and Lovey Creek down here with my bride, headed south to go north, to go west, long trip today, listening to Bill talk about arranged marriages, it just reminded me of Steve Martin and Father of the Bride when he was thinking about why he couldn't have arranged who she should marry.
Right.
Because they should be just like him.
That's right.
And it sounds like Bill wants them to be just like him, so he will have a constant presence in their life.
Yeah, maybe.
Right, he just wants somebody to hang out with. That's all.
I think you got it right, Paul. I mean, to hang out with, and then turn right around, and then
somebody
forget about it. I mean, hey, this does, I'm not going to worry about it.
He wants somebody that'll agree with him, and
that'll be it. So.
That's right.
Bill, I'm sorry about arranged marriage. It won't ever happen in this country, because our ladies in this country they make up their own mind, just like my bride did over 2 dozen donuts, and that's the way it happened for us.
2 dozen
Benny,
donuts.
Benny, your bride is sitting right next to you, aren't you? Isn't she?
Yeah, she's sitting right
here. Yeah, I figured that.
We just driving down the road laughing, listening to all of this that y'all are talking about.
Well, let me dream, Benny.
Yeah, that's true. That's a big dream.
That's
I mean,
right.
I still got one that, I wish I could get off the payroll.
There you Whoa. Go. Hey, arranged marriage.
Okay.
Well, one day miracle might happen. I've even threatened to get on eBay and start putting a profile on the, not eHarmony.com.
Well, eBay.
Anything else I can find, and she just sometimes won't talk to me.
eBay may work, too. I mean, eBay. You know, take bids.
They do a lot on eBay.
You know, if he can afford her.
A Facebook picture on eBay is that. Well, does anybody want her?
Well, one thing about it is.
High cost.
You just set the reserve price high enough, and then if the guy can afford her, then he's wealthy and he'll be all right.
A dowry.
There you go.
It'd be like a dowry.
I'm talking about it. I'm in trouble now when I get back home.
Yes, you are.
Well, you folks have a great one. And Paul, y'all have don't forget now, remind the folks about that pancake day coming up the last Tuesday of the month.
I know it, and I got to say something about it, but last hour was so such an emotional impact. Field story that I lost track of time and didn't get to talk about the Pancake Jubilee.
You lose track of time? I have never heard of so.
Not Paul.
I know, she's sitting next to you.
That's right.
You better be nice. Okay.
Y'all don't believe I've ever heard Benny laugh like that.
And everyone out there, all the ladies, have a fine and marvelous Valentine's Day just before that great lucky Friday the 13th, and this year we've got two of them in a row.
There we go. That's right. Thank you. We appreciate
you
it. Benny. Thanks, Benny. Thanks for the call. All right.
I hadn't thought about the fact that it was Friday the 13th tomorrow. That Benny sort of brought me down there. I'd been kind of completely avoiding that.
Too much in a row.
But, you know, I've never heard Benny laugh like that. That was pretty cool. If we accomplished that, that was a belly laugh. We had Benny going. That was good.
All right. Good morning. You're on the morning show with the Tarvers. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
This is Levy.
Hey, Miss Levy.
I've got a confession to make.
Okay.
When I tuned in the other morning and I won those tickets, I had just turned the radio on when I heard Dr. McCain say, you know, who it was and the name of the song.
Right.
And I won. But I don't know. My tickets are at the Riley Center. I know that. But what night?
It is
Saturday,
next.
Not Saturday this, week. Yeah, week from Saturday.
Right.
A week from Saturday.
Right.
Oh, good. And what is it?
It's the Meridian Symphony Orchestra's Mardi Gras concert.
Okay, that's wonderful.
It's
a week
be good.
From this Saturday.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That'd be
well,
the 21st.
I'm sorry.
And your tickets should be
I won,
there now.
But then, like I said, I got kind of confused there because I didn't know really what I had won. Thank you a lot, and y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you for calling. All right. Yeah, they should be there now.
Hey,
yeah.
Bill.
Hey.
I wanted to do something. There was a song that I wanted to play that I sent back when we were dating online and on the internet at a long-distance love affair. Mm-hmm. We would send – I would make music tapes and send them to Pam, and she would do the same thing, send them to me. I think I made more tapes than you did.
Yeah, I didn't know about how to do such things.
So, anyway, I would make these tapes, and one of the songs that I sent her was my best romantic ideal of what love in the South was like.
Love in the South?
Yeah.
Is this on disc one?
Yeah, it's on disc one. We'll swap that out in the next little bit. But this song has always, for me, represented a lot about the life in the South, love in the South, what it was like to be down here and be in love and that sort of thing.
You want to catch this call before we go to that cut?
Well,
tell me the number, too.
Oh, well, the cut that you're going to play is number 12. But if you want to take that call first... I guess, you know,
okay,
we can be
12.
A talk show.
All right, good morning. You're on the morning show with the Tarvers. Welcome. Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you one more thing, and I forgot to do it. Yesterday, my wife was bringing our little redheaded grandson into town, Hawk, and he was sitting on the back there in his seat, and she was playing Elvis Presley's I Can't Stop Falling in Love with You. And he just chimed right in and said, "Randy, that sounds like a Valentine song to me." He's only 4 years old.
Smart.
Boys must be learning pretty early. What do you think?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it does. He knows.
Sharp kid.
I bet he's not going to be like I was when I was a kid and buy Spider-Man Valentine's.
No, he likes to be around the women.
He's going to get them kind of got hearts and stuff,
he's
ain't
starting
he?
Early.
Yeah, starting early. I'll take you tomorrow.
There you go.
Okay. Right.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Benny.
Appreciate it. Keeping him away from my little girl.
All right. I thought they wanted to arrange it.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Till Bill gets it arranged.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
I'm doing the arranging.
This was one of the songs I want to send Pam to give a flavor of the South and love down here and everything else. So if you'll play Cut 12 for me, I'd appreciate it, Bill.
Sounds a lot like Paul Davis.
It does.
Who
a
is
lot.
That is Atlanta Rhythm Section. I'm sorry, I was communicating with my spouse here.
Oh. Well.
But I'm done communicating at this point. We can communicate with the rest of the world.
It's the morning show. It's the Tarver Valentine's Day special.
So anyway, we were telling in the first hour how we met on the internet and everything else, and we got to the point where Pam was ready to move south.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the last money that I had and rented a Ryder yellow truck.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. I got ready to rent it. I was going to pick it up there.
Yeah.
I bought a ticket and flew to upstate New York, and we got the Ryder truck. And I got to thank her parents because even in spite of their concerns, they went and rented the truck for us.
Didn't tell us.
They called me and told me, but they didn't tell Pam.
Was it wintertime?
No.
September. Oh, okay.
It was September, Labor Day weekend.
Okay, so no snow to worry about.
No, and so the nice thing about it was when they rented the truck, that allowed me, instead of me spending my money on the truck, I was able to do a little vacation thing, and we were able to stop and mm-hmm. kind of enjoy a ride back. Otherwise, I was going to have to drive straight through because all I had was enough money to get back home. I mean, I was broke. Mm-hmm. I done paid all the phone bills, and I done pitched all the woo
all
I could.
Pitching and wooing calls.
Well, I didn't have nothing left to pitch. I mean, I done pitched it all. This was a make or break deal.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, you think I'm kidding. I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were in business at this time.
Yeah, and I was about 60 days away from closing the doors Because I had taken my eye off the ball and was chasing Pam.
All
and,
because of a woman.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much, and it wasn't just that, but I mean, it wasn't all just that, but the point was is that it was not the only thing that was going good in my life at that time was her. Yeah.
But we didn't know it when, just before we moved, I moved here, that I would be going to work with you.
Yeah, we had, I had a secretary quit.
Were you into computers and stuff like that then?
Hobby.
As a hobby.
As a hobby.
Okay.
I loved them. I would just, as a matter of fact, my sister had bought one.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't afford one at the time. My sister bought one. She didn't know how to do what she wanted to do, which was keep track of her horses. So I said, well, let me take the computer and let me figure out what to do and what you want to do with it, and then I'll give it back. And that's where it all started.
So anyway, she moved down here. I had gotten her an apartment across the street from me. And
ended up going to work with you.
Ended up going to work with
so
me.
We didn't have a big. We was like thrown in together. We didn't have a regular relationship.
I mean, she needed a job, and mm-hmm. I needed a secretary, and you know,
there you go.
So that was kind of the start of the work relationship and the dating and the, mm-hmm. you know, everything sort of got thrown in at once and shaken around and mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't have it any other way now.
Wouldn't have it any other way, and it was one of those things where. You had asked me, did I know, you know, when I saw her that time, you asked me earlier if it was when I knew I was going to marry her. And, mm-hmm. you know, I told you I had fallen in love. Well, the moment I knew I was going to marry her, I had contracted spinal meningitis.
Wow.
And spent some time in a drug-induced coma. And when I woke up, the only person through the drug haze, the only person I wanted to see was Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that day that was I was going to marry her. I was going to ask her to marry me, and I was going to marry her. Mm-hmm. And as far as I was concerned, when we actually had to marry in the wedding ceremony, that was just formality for everybody else. I mean, I'd married her the day I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
The day I woke up, knew that the only person in the world I wanted to talk to, that was the moment when I said, okay.
Did she say yes immediately?
Yeah. I mean, I proposed to her underneath a sky full of fireworks on the 4th of July with the Meridian Symphony Orchestra playing music. How could she not?
Great timing.
How could she not? Now, I almost dropped the ring on the ground and fumbled around and
in the dark.
I was scared.
In the dark.
I was well.
Did
we
you
were
get on
the
your
firework.
Knee?
I was in this lawn chair. Let me tell you what happened. I was in this lawn chair, and she was sitting next to me, and I was in a position where I couldn't get out of the chair safely enough. So I ended up just kind of rolling on my side and handing her a ring and said. So I don't remember exactly what I said. I was so nervous. I was just trying to get it out. And what was worse was I had uncles. That were with us, that were sitting behind us. One of them drove over from Jackson because they knew I was going to propose that night. And so I knew I had four people sitting behind me, all watching the whole time, waiting for the proposal. You know, I mean, it was just probably, I don't know, it was horrible. But it was great at the same time. It was one of those things. You just, everything that could go wrong, I was afraid I was going to drop the ring. I was afraid I wasn't going to say the right thing. I was afraid she's going to say no. I was afraid them people was watching us. I'm afraid that, you know. But, you know, the first person to congratulate us when we got up from the chairs after this thing was over, the first person I ran into was Sonny Montgomery.
Really?
I told Sonny that I'd just proposed, and he had this big smile on his face, and he was like, congratulations, Paul. I hope everything goes well. And he was about the first person.
Wow, that's a good memory.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dumpster, really, how did you propose?
Oh.
It was a blind date.
Gosh.
That night?
No, not that night. Oh. Gosh, just traditionally, I don't know. I don't remember the.
You don't remember?
Honestly, don't remember the exact moment now. But I just asked her plain out.
Exact moment.
You know, well, I don't remember the circumstances, but I just.
You wasn't like in the frozen food section of the grocery store or nothing like that.
No, right? No, it wasn't under fireworks and on 4th of July and all that. You know, I didn't have a real great background. It was just a normal day,
right?
In which we met, and I just. Ask her, you know, just pop the question.
Paul always tries to make things dramatic.
Mm. Well, good for him.
he's a romantic.
Oh, yes. He has a very romantic streak.
I believe in grand gestures. I would be the guy that would rent the space on the big Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would do that if we had a Jumbotron in Meridian, I might consider. But we don't, you know, I would be the guy that would rent the airplane to pull the
banner
behind the banner.
Yeah.
If we had a plane that pulled banners around.
Bill, how did you ask Shay?
A buffet line at a casino in Vegas. That is no lie.
Really?
Did you leave the buffet and go to the wedding chapel?
Why that moment, Bill? Why that moment?
It just, I don't know. It just came in my head.
And, why not?
Yeah.
Let me have some of those chicken tenders, and we'll, Shay, will you marry me?
Eat the prime rib, and let's
get
hitched.
You must have been friends by then.
Well, we were friends, and we came back to Vegas to marry.
Did you have a ring
with
you?
About 7 or 8 months later. No.
No, you just popped out.
We had to get back to San Francisco to do that.
You weren't like one of those guys who was like, hey, why don't we get married?
That's exactly what I did.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
So here, Shay, have some of this prime rib. By the way,
you want to arrange a marriage for your daughter?
Yes, exactly.
That's why, because you have no romantic streak.
Well, no, I'm
the prime rib and marry me and no ring with you.
I am Mr. Romance.
Yeah,
I am Mr. Romance.
I can buy that.
You're Mr. Get it done. Get the job done.
I am Mr. Get it done. That's right.
I appreciate that.
It ain't how it starts; it's how it finishes.
There you go.
Hey, we need to break. So, what are we gonna break with?
Track number one on disc two, please.
Track one, disc two.